Woof. Woof, woof.
Meow. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jim? Can you feel it? Diana, is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
I can feel it in my fiend bone.
Oh, yeah.
All the way from my baby toe.
And it's so good to be back on the air with the both of you. We missed you last week, Diana. We went off the rails without you. I think things just got completely out of control. Jim and Dobby
somebody
and I.
Here.
Yeah, Jim and Dobby and I completely lost our minds, and we needed somebody to bring us back into line where we should be.
You needed a wrangler.
Yeah, we needed a central planner.
I still haven't listened to that one. I'm going to have to do that when we're finished.
Sounds yes, you awesome. Are. No, do it now. Listen now.
Okay, I'll just narrate as I'm listening.
Okay.
And then they said.
So, would you care to talk about what you were doing last week for your approved absence from the Fiends?
I seriously just had to sleep. I can't believe how much I slept. I thought there was something wrong with me, but I feel so good now.
Oh, I thought you were engaged in some sort of activism or something like that.
Well, I mean, I am kind of every night, but you know, it was really a break that I needed. Now I'm like double activisty.
Ooh. It's a new kind of activism, sleep activism. It's not that active, but it is sleepy activism.
You know, sometimes the more time you put in thinking about things before you do them, the more time you save when you actually go to do it.
Yeah? True. As a matter of fact, you might even save yourself some jail time if you think before you do them. And speaking of saving yourself some jail time, Jim, what laws did you break this past week?
Well, I was really excited to find out that I had broken a law, but I didn't find out about it until afterwards, so I wasn't really able to enjoy it at the time. But I had traveled to New Brunswick, Canada, and I brought with me more than 12 bottles of beer. And I didn't even, yeah, who knew, right? Like, I had never even imagined I was breaking a law.
Did you just break it by, like, one beer or something? Or was it, like, extreme law breakage going on?
You know, I don't know. I know I had more than 12, but it's not like I was like importing huge quantities. That's just, you know, whatever was in my cooler at the time as we crossed over. But I didn't find out until later.
You had like 13 and got busted, and you just had like one extra beer.
Well, sorry, go ahead. They like deploy the Canadian Mounties to like to go through coolers, like then their red jackets and stuff, and they ride up on horseback and they demand to go through your cooler. Luckily, no, but. I found out about it because a guy is actually challenging this in... I also found out they have courts in Canada. I thought this the Queen just said, off with their heads! You know, but turns out there's some kind of a court structure, and somebody's challenging this on constitutional grounds. Evidently, there's something in a charter or something that says that... They're not allowed to restrict trade between the provinces. So there they are.
So you didn't, it wasn't you brought it from the U.S.? You brought it from another province?
Well, I did bring it in from the U.S., but their law says you can't bring it in from outside the province. So wherever you bring it in from, it violates their law. So,
that's true. Like I can't send local beer to my parents in Ontario from B.C. because... You can't move alcohol between provinces. I think
no,
the manufacturers
can. Of course,
can get permits,
but is this the laws of physics that are stopping you from doing that, or some scribbles by the Queen's henchmen?
Well, you can't ship a box that is marked with as alcohol because they'll send it back. Like,
okay, so you just have to label it as.
Exactly. Religious
they don't know what's in it.
Religious reading materials.
Yeah. If they don't know what's in it, you're all good.
Well, you know what you could do is you could label it yeast samples. okay? Because technically that is correct, and you're being honest. It just happens to be with some, also with some hops and malts and whatnot.
Yeah. So somebody's challenging the beer between provinces. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So kudos to
him.
The
queen, yeah. You know, I think it would be a lot more efficient if we just held all our criminals, just wait till the queen visits and then let her make the decisions. I can't believe I still live in a monarchy. It's just so insane.
Monarchist. So what's going to happen? This guy who's challenging this declaration on constitutional basis, that's a Canadian constitution, right?
Yeah, it turns out they have a constitution. Who knew? You mean
America's not the only country with a constitution?
I thought it was North Korea, United States, and like one or two others. I don't know.
Well, the Soviet Union had one. So did East Germany. People's Republic of China, and they all have free speech guaranteed in their constitution. I don't know about Canada, though. So we
are not too good on the free speech laws. It's got limitations to it. Christopher Hitchens listed? Actually did a really great speech up here about it.
Is free speech listed in your constitution?
Yeah, they allowed Hitchens. He probably had way too much alcohol with him, even just in his blood content when he crossed the border.
Well, remember, if you have 12 beers, you're okay. But as soon as you hit number 13, you're a terrorist.
Right. Yeah. Well, it turns out that there's some kind of like horrible, horrible beer taxes in New Brunswick. So this is to just basically to protect their cartel. But like they're like beer costs like evidently twice as much in New Brunswick as it does in other places in Canada.
Okay.
Wow. That's a good reason not to go there.
Do you guys have privately owned beer and alcohol stores up there, or are they run by government, like in Pennsylvania?
There's both. There's government ones, and then there's cold beer and wine stores that are more expensive, but yeah, they're private. There was one in Victoria when I lived there that pretty much matched the government liquor store prices, so that was pretty cool. But they were open super late.
Okay, do the private ones offer liquor or just beer and wine?
Well, no, it's beer, wine, cider, like sort of a variety, but there's a lot less choice there. And
okay.
A lot of them will try to carry stuff you can't get in the liquor store because they're also open at the same time, so they want to have daytime business as well, not just off hours.
So you get more choice out of government up there?
Yeah, there's a wider variety, but they don't have as many, like maybe specialty imports or something, right?
Okay. I went to one of these. I assumed it was had this like Soviet vibe to it. It said beer and wine. I'm like, oh, that looks great, right up my alley, you know. And I went in there and like, let's see what kind of beer they got. And it was a dismal array of horrible products. So
I'm still like, this is still sinking in. We have a constitutional challenge over beer. It's actually kind of cute.
Yeah, well, I pulled it up, and this is what it says. Section 121, I'm reading it, of our Constitution Act specifies goods, produce, and manufacture should be admitted free into all other provinces. Anyway.
Do you know what the last really interesting constitutional challenge was? It was legalizing prostitution in Ontario.
Did it work?
Yeah. Like, I think they're still appealing it. It's been quite a few years now, but I'm pretty sure it's still under appeal. Or they passed some other law that still kind of got around. But it was a lady that was running a body house, a red light house or whatever. And she argued that it made their lives unsafe, right? So it was a violation of her constitutional rights that it jeopardized her well-being.
Because she had a job as a whore? What?
Yeah.
Wait. Wait a minute.
I'm pretty sure the lawyer worded it more legally, but, you know, she won.
So what you're saying is people put on their powdered wigs and go to court on constitutional basis of hookers and beer in Canada.
No, wait a minute. So she was arguing that it would be safer for her to be legal.
Yeah, because they had to then sort of be back alley whores.
Oh, okay. Right? No, that makes sense to me. I was, for some reason, I was thinking she was arguing to keep it illegal because it was such, it gave her such a dangerous job.
She likes to live on the edge.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is, this job is so dangerous. Is, please make it illegal.
That's that was a great point. Saying. Canada goes to constitutional court over beer and whores.
Well, you know, or we'd like to call them entrepreneurs. Okay, I don't want to use a disparaging term.
Well, break out the powdered wigs.
The problem is that what they've ended up doing is they made it so that it's legal to sell sex, but not to buy it. They did the Swedish model.
Oh God!
So you know, it's not really any further ahead.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a George Carlin quote. Selling is legal, effing is legal. Why isn't selling effing legal?
I like wordplay. Like, that's good.
Yeah, so it's just that anti-business, Marxist, socialistic government nonsense stuff. And all governments are like that. So, you know, could you imagine running a sex operation out of an Uber vehicle?
An Uber vehicle?
Yeah, why not?
The redcoats up there would be going crazy.
We had a little bit of anarchy on the other side of it in Vancouver, Commercial Drive area. There were two street parties, you know, the using their right to free assembly, right? Which I guess is a potential, you know, constitutional battle or whatever. But they had a party back in May. Celebrating the birthday of the Queen. That's our May holiday, Victoria Day. Yeah. But they had this thing they organized online, and they just said, everybody, let's go out and have a street party. And they didn't get permission. It was an unlicensed party. It was the way it's described in the news, right? Unlicensed party. And like 9,000 people showed up. It was crazy. And everyone had a lot of fun. So they tried to organize a second one, and they only got about 5,000 out to that one, but there was like a huge deal. We had like notices on our doors from the police talking about what they were going to do to try and contain, after the May Day party, contain the chaos and stuff. Yeah, but there was a bit of chaos.
By chaos, you mean they had more than 12 beers?
I'll tell you about it when we come back.
Worms. You can't celebrate your queen without a permit.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Freedom Fiends, the one thing that you don't need a permit to listen to anymore. So go ahead, Diana, tell us a little bit more about May Day and celebrating the Queen without a permit.
Well, I did attend by accident the first party in May because I was decided to do a little bit of evening shopping at the end of Commercial Drive. And then I went to catch the bus and the buses weren't running because the streets were blocked off. And it's like, oh, man. So I didn't have to go that far, but four blocks were completely packed with people. Like, and it was funny because people who were going to join it were like running up going, yay, party time. And then they just hit this wall of people and they couldn't go any further. And there's like, yay. You know, the music was playing from a band like three streets away, but they couldn't get close to it.
It's hard to imagine that people get that excited about Queen Victoria to this day. But I think that's, you know, that's adorable. I love Canada.
Well, monarchists.
But, like, see, I had to look up what it was celebrating because we don't know. We just know we get a day off work, right? And then everybody wants to go party. So to us, we just call it May Day.
Dirty commies.
But, so I was trying to get through this, which, like, you know, there's quite a few events that happen on Commercial Drive, and I live in that area, so I get stuck trying to carry out my daily business, right, with all these people in my way. And I'm just like, I live here. Come on. You know, like, get out of my way. So I had to cut to a back street. And I love these parties because there's, like, some guy standing on a corner as kind of the crowd kind of straggles off, and you get, you know, people dotting the terrain, you know, not so much of a horde. And this one guy standing on a corner going, hello? Hello? He's obviously, like, lost
Canadian
his friends.
Canadian revelry. That's Canadian revelry right there.
I know. And I said hi to him, and then he tried to, like, puppy dog follow me down the street because he was just, like, he was probably high and stuff, right, and lost his friends, and he didn't know what was going on. And but I, in the end, I think he was really just looking for somewhere to throw up, you know.
Isn't that always what it boils down to?
But that was the big problem, like, when they announced they were going to do another one, is the residents who live right around the Grandview Park area where they have these events, their yards were a mess, right? So not just trash, but right, people, you know, throwing up. They were using people's lawns as toilets, you know?
Well, what we need are, like, spontaneously generated vomit troughs to be deployed at these spontaneous gatherings, right? Queen Victoria would want it that way. I know she would.
Now, see, that's what happens when you get a bunch of statists together. They have no respect for property rights. They leave a mess. They don't clean up afterwards. And you go to an anarchist event like Pork Fest or Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and the place is just as clean when people leave that as when they got there.
So a lot of that has to do with how crappy Rogers is when people get there.
Yeah, well, one person got stabbed in May too. So, like, you know, then of course
there's a drive-by stabbing.
Drive-by, yeah. I think it was in the park, but, you know, I think if you get, well, the numbers, I've read all numbers all over the place. Apparently, May was somewhere between 5,000 and, like, 8,000 or 9,000. I've read both of those. So somewhere in that range. For that many people and only one injury, I'm sure it was a stabbing, but there was only one recorded injury as far as I know. So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, like the peeing and defecating on people's lawns was really kind of shady, I think, in terms of... But these aren't, like, anarchists who are getting together to say, you know, we're exercising our you know, independence and freedom and all this other stuff. They're actually kind of politically oriented protest groups that are kind of social justice warrior-y, to tell you the truth.
So they're exercising their entitlement.
Yeah. Their underprivilegedness is what they're celebrating.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a party in your front yard, it's better to have anarchists, because they'll pick up their vomit and feces when they leave. Yeah. They're good that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they'll have more than 12 beers with them, too. Oh, my gosh.
They did this thing in Victoria because they had such a problem with people peeing in the alleys and stuff, like... the entire downtown area, they put these little kind of porta potty things on corners, quite a few of them. They were really bizarre looking. They looked like pods. And it was like just enough room for you to stand up in it, right? And apparently they designed them so men and women both could use them.
Well, nice. So did it work, though? Sort of. Did it work?
Well, I saw a couple people use it, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Did you need a permit to use the porta potties?
They could have just made it quarter paid, you know, make a lot of money off it.
Worms.
We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. We have to put a quarter in the radio.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Oh, yeah. Whee!
Welcome back. Relax, your state is in pain. Away with the Freedom Fiends.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Jim Babb. I'm here with Lusander Fien and Diana Davison.
Hello.
You're about to tell us some fun stories, another fun story about Vancouver, Diana. What are you, had some, we were talking about some great street parties without permits and sort of unneighborly behavior.
With all the complaints of the residents, and I totally get where they're coming from. Like, if that was my lawn and I had to clean up that stuff, I'd be a little concerned when I heard about the second one. And, you know, their complaints were, you know, if this party's going to happen, then I want to make sure that my lawn doesn't become a toilet again, right? It's not saying necessarily, I don't want people to get together. They have no right to assemble. You know what I mean? That's not really where they were coming from. But, you know, you do get these neighborhood Nazis who are the ones behind the reason why you have laws about needing to mow your lawn. And, you know, like, it gets into really petty stuff. Like, they care about what color you paint your house.
Right. Because if you don't mow your lawn, it can be really uncomfortable to pee there. Okay.
Yeah. Allow me to interrupt for a second. There's an acronym here in America. It's called NIMFY, not in my front yard. But anyway, please continue.
Well, so their concern is, well, with the mowing the lawns, from what I understand, they're saying it's to control weeds, right? So if you don't mow your lawn, then it grows dandelions, and then they turn into those little fluff ball things and parachute over into the nice lawns, right? So that's the reason that they give for that one. And the house painting, it gets into things like, well, maintaining property values in the area, right? So that, like, they're good at justifying all this stuff, but it's always really bothered me that your neighbors can tell you basically how to maintain your house. Is that, that's a little problematic, yeah? Like, yeah, even down to what color you can paint it.
Right. Some even want to tell you, like, you can't grow marijuana there. You know, like, who do they think they are?
Yeah, and that argument is because it draws, like, you know, shady people into the area who are buying from you or whatever, right?
Well, not only is there people complaining about cannabis, but there's also people complaining about people growing vegetables, tomatoes, raspberries, and stuff like that. And that is called the NIFE acronym, not in your front yard.
Well, that's the problem. Is like, you know, if it's my front yard, then yeah, okay, I got something to say about that. But if it's somebody else's front yard, it's none of my damn business.
Well, when it comes time to do yard work, it's your front yard. But when it comes time to determine what can be planted in there, it's our front yard. Because that's how socialism works.
Yeah, anyway,
please continue.
Sorry. But I was looking up Neighbor Wars, right? And you get a lot of stuff about a movie called Neighbors when you search for that. But if you search Neighbors and Killing, you get some phenomenal stuff. Like, so many people kill their neighbors over things. That one guy recently killed a 63-year-old woman because she was mowing her lawn too late at night.
Well, who else are you going to kill? Are you going to drive across town to kill somebody for mowing their lawn? No. No, you go. That's too inconvenient.
He shot her in the face and then ran over her arm with the... It was a push mower that she was using. Right? Apparently, really gory scene. And his 73-year-old...
It's a 63-year-old woman that was killed for mowing her lawn too late at night.
Yeah, by like a 50-year-old guy. And his 73-year-old mother is in jail now, too.
Well, and it does make sense. I mean, you're not going to go after some 25-year-old physically fit man. So, yeah.
Well, it's because she was this neighbor. And she did this quite often, but it was a push mower, right? So she probably figured nobody's bothered.
Well, how late at night was it?
6:30.
Yeah, I can't remember that. I'd be guessing, but I'm thinking it's probably like 10 or something.
Is it even light enough to mow it at that time of night?
I don't know, but
it could. You know, it could be in Canada. The sun does go down, you know, pretty late when you get up north.
Well, it's like 72 or 73-year-old mother is in jail now too because she hid the gun and she didn't cooperate with police when they were investigating. So the 73-year-old woman is in jail. She didn't actually shoot anybody or kill anybody, but she was just like, you know, I'll hide your gun, son, sunny boy.
So she was an accessory after the fact.
Yeah. Well, which I guess, you know, it's kind of shady, but...
Well, who mows the grass now is what I want to know. I mean...
I know, nobody's mowing the grass now, and then they're going to get a fine for having their grass too long.
Oh. Well, nobody's going to get a fine because the lady's dead, but... It sounds to me like if this 50-year-old man killed somebody and his 73-year-old mother took part in covering it up, it really sounds like the mowing the lawn at 10 o'clock at night is not really the root of the problem here. I think there was some bad parenting, some paint chip eating, and a lot of window licking growing up.
Well, there's definitely like so many stories, though. That was just one of them. A lot of it has to do with people killing each other's pets. So they believe that their neighbor, some of it was poisoning their pet, and cats and dogs, neither one of them is safe. And sometimes actually just like they said, their neighbor stole their pet and shot it.
Well, and I think they're thinking of the police. That's what the police do. You know, wouldn't
you
that be funny?
Bad neighbors, though. Like,
wouldn't that be sad? Like, you call the police to report that your neighbor shot one of your dogs, and the police show up and shoot your other dog. Like, that could happen.
Yeah, it's not outside the stretch of imagination. Now, when I was a little kid, oh gosh, I was probably only about 7 or 8, something like that. I think it was second or third grade, and we had this cat. Her name was Smokey. Real sweet cat. Just a love. The awesome cat. She'd follow you around like a dog. And somebody in the neighborhood shot her in the face with a .22, and it messed up her left eye and just shattered her jaw. And we had to have her put down. And when you're that age, you know, second or third grade, and somebody murders your cat like that. Well, she wasn't murdered yet, you know, because it had to be finished up. But when somebody does that to your cat, that's kind of a heartbreaker. And that a person that would do that is probably best described as being fueled by vinegar and water. I throw that out there.
I know. But neighbors are a big thing. Like if you're moving to a new place, it's always kind of a concern. I wonder what the neighbors are like. And I had this really crazy lady that lived in, I was in a concrete building, and they touted it as being a really good soundproof building, but it was not at all. Like, the guy that lived on the left of me, I could hear him moving hangers in his closet all day. Like, it was crazy. He must have had some sort of clothing fetish. But it took me a while to figure out what the sound was, and then I realized, because they had like wall-length closets built in, and it was hangers moving on the closet. And the other side, they rented to a bunch of young people who would be up watching TV and fighting with each other all the time, always right when my kid was trying to go to bed, right? But, you know, I kind of worked it out. That was it. And I just learned to deal with the hangers. But the lady that lived below me, she came up and knocked on my door a few times, complaining because when I walked on my floor, she could hear me. I'm like,
I used to have a similar experience when I was young. I lived in an apartment, and for some reason, the neighbor didn't like it when I practiced the timbales. Okay, which it's a very loud percussion instrument. Okay, but I had to practice. You know, so what are you going to do? You know,
are you talking about those like Mexican shaker things?
No, the timbales, like the drums that like Tito Puente played. Anyway, it's a loud Latin percussion instrument. Okay, it is loud. Okay,
and for those that don't know, Jim was in a band that did a world tour. I think they opened for Motorhead in Germany.
No, but I would have, but no, did not get that invitation.
Okay,
people
Diana,
to play instruments, they're always facing a problem with neighbors. I mean, what if you were a professional triangle player, right? And your neighbors had to listen to that just ding, ding all the time, right? Because you're practicing the triangle. Actually, I had a lady once that she was just like a customer, not just somebody I hung around with, elderly lady. And she went to church and played in their band the triangle, and she was worried because she hit the triangle at the wrong time one day. And I was like, you know, I think God will forgive you.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, so my neighbor problem escalated because the same landlord had the apartment next door to me, and he was going to evict me, and we ended up going to court over this. So, I'm like 21 years old or something. I don't even know, you know. So the judge now is saying, look, you can only practice, you know, between the hours of, you know, of 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. Okay, every day. So I'm like, okay, after that I did more practicing than I had ever done before. I got 3 hours of practicing in every single day.
Yeah, isn't it strange when somebody goes to government and government sets parameters that it just makes things worse than they would have been had they, you know, sucked it up?
Right. I had to practice. It was an order of the court. I had to.
Yeah. So. Now, see, I play air guitar, which doesn't make a whole lot of noise, but the air groupies are just out of control because they're always vomiting and going to the bathroom in the front yard. So, yeah.
I play Guitar Hero. But...
yeah. So what you're saying is, Diana, in that particular situation, is people move into an apartment building where they know there's going to be people to the side of them, above them, and possibly below them, whatever. And they're shocked that they hear noise, and they're shocked that other people walk across their floors and stuff
like
that.
Play timbales or...
Well, yeah, when she knocked on my door to complain about me walking too loud across the room, I was like, what are you... my response was very simple. What are you suggesting? That I don't walk across my apartment? Because that seems pretty outrageous. And she's like, well, it's really loud. And I said, well, I think you're going to have to just live with it. You know?
It seems like you could just like float across the floor like the ghosts are playing with the hangers in your neighbor's apartment all day long.
Should have taken up tap dancing. But she used to bang like a broom or something on her ceiling to... tell me when she thought I was being too noisy. And I'd just stomp on the floor back again.
You know what? I lived in an apartment building, and I had a neighbor that would bang on the ceiling. I don't know if they're using a broom handle or not, but well, we're not going to go into the reason why the noise was coming, but anyway, it was late at night, but we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends and after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
to the Freedom Fiends, spreading like a terrible rash.
No, that would be government. Freedom Fiends, spreading like a government. We have infested everything. All your airwaves belong to us. So, Jim, when you were doing your crack smoking research on neighbors shooting neighbors for cutting grass, you came across something that was really interesting. Tell us a little bit about what you found.
Well, the headline is, New Jersey trooper shot at teens who knocked on wrong door. I thought this was terribly unneighborly. Evidently, some kids were looking for their friend, and they knock on the door, but they made the mistake of knocking on a New Jersey state trooper's door. Not only, okay, so, of course, what does a policeman do, right? He heard a knock, and he suddenly feared for his life, and he just starts spraying the neighborhood with gunfire, what it sounds like. So the trooper came downstairs and started cursing at the teens through the door, and then the trooper followed the teens outside with his gun as they fled in the car. Okay, so anyway.
Sounds like he did a proper police investigation there before making decisions.
Right. This one person, Barkhorn, tells the AP, I was like, dude, get out of here. One bullet struck a tire, stopping the car about a mile and a half later.
Wow. I love when they quote people the way they actually said it, like, I was like, dude.
You ever notice that when there's a cop-involved shooting, especially when you see it on video, the cops throw more lead than a drive-by gangbanger shooting does? I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, once was a time where they would shoot twice and then reassess the situation, and now it's just like they turn their gun sideways, pull up, you know, and unload their gat.
I mean, luckily, you know, thankfully, because otherwise there'd be a lot more victims of police violence, I think. But luckily, their aim is so bad. Now, pedestrians or people in other houses were obviously at risk that night, but I don't think those teens were in much danger based on this guy's aim. Mm-hmm. But
there was another police one I saw, too, where like a former police officer who was retired was shot by his neighbor. And a whole bunch of police showed up to the scene, and you know the guy was just like gunned down like mad. Apparently, he still had the gun on him, so there's an investigation going on. But my first thought was, when they find out the victim was one of their former friends from the police force, you kind of think that they're, you know, gonna shoot a little bit faster.
Yeah. So anyway, Diana, you had a little bit of a rant about bad neighborly behavior. What was that? Little conclusion for the first segment.
I think that the concern is that, you know, like there is the state which steps into your bedrooms and your private life, and it's just outrageous, right? But they're doing it on behalf of somebody, and that's another part of the problem, is like these neighbor Nazis who want to tell everybody else how to live. They're just busybodies, you know? And that's something that, like, you know, in a stateless society, you need to really find ways to create a tolerance level, because, you know, I don't want the state in my bedroom, but I also don't want my neighbor in my bedroom. So I think that
depends on your neighbor.
Yeah. And people got to become a little more reasonable. I mean, most of the time I see bizarre laws, it's because somebody went and sued somebody for something stupid, and now they have a law about it, you know?
Well, the problem with that is it's socialism. There's an economic law that says that if something is free or mostly free, people are going to demand more of it. So what happens is, in a stateless society, if you had a private security firm that took care of your house or took care of your neighborhood, as example, Threat Management Center of Detroit. And when I was talking to Dale Brown recently, he talked about this. One of his customers wanted the security folks to, you know, go do this and go do that. And, you know, they wanted this guy taken to court and everything else. And he says, well, you can do that, but you're going to have to pay for my people to sit in court as long as it takes for them to get called and do their testimony. And you're going to have to pay for this, you're going to have to pay for that. Under the police department, you know, run by the government, it doesn't work that way, because everybody pays for it from their property taxes. Those who have more property pay more. So from each according to his ability to each according to his need. So the problem is socialism. And I hate to tell you police supporting conservatives this, but the police department is more socialistic than Obamacare.
Worms.
And we'll be back in the second hour. More Freedom Fiends. Got a permit?
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
The Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And the good old obligatory, Obama is a liar, a socialist, his feet stink, and he puts the execute in the executive branch. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Jim Babb and Diana Davison. Welcome back, kids.
Great to be here.
So good to be here.
You know, reading is fundamental, but you got to have a permit if you want to make a library. Are you guys familiar with the little free libraries?
I have seen some of these.
Yeah. Those cute little like libraries that people put in their front yard.
Yeah. You know, the things that people complain about, you know, people not having a community anymore, not knowing their neighbors, not hanging out with their neighbors, not sharing with their neighbors, and just, you know, doing the nice things that neighbors do. And one of the solutions to that is a little free library, but you gotta have a permit. You kind of described it a little bit, Jim. The little free libraries is people will make up these little house type things, and they're not big at all. And some of them, look like bird feeders or dog houses or whatever. But
like mailbox sized.
Yeah, and some of them are really well, maybe a Canadian mailbox. Here in the USSA, mailboxes aren't really that big, but yeah, and people will make up these little free libraries, and some of them are pretty fancy schmancy looking. And if you want to learn about it, you can go to littlefreelibrary.org. And there's
is that where I get a permit for one of these?
No, you have to go to government to get permission to share reading materials with your neighbors. And what these things do is people will put out some books in there, and people from the neighborhood or wherever can come in. They can check out a book, read it. Maybe they bring it back. Maybe they grab one or two of the old books on their shelves and they throw it into the library as they take a book out, or you know, whatever. And it's essentially a book exchange. So instead of needle exchanges, you have book exchanges, and it's a pretty neat little concept. So
I like it. I like it. Maybe I'll start one and put like Murray Rothbard and Tom Woods and, you know, put.
you send a link to this article. It was Portland they were talking about. Of course, they exist all over the place, but they were talking about ones in Portland. The article was so funny, was satirically written. But I love this little bit. They go, there, nestled cozily among the front yard's ferns and shrubbery, was a brightly painted box. like a noxious mushroom. This box had seemingly sprouted overnight. It's just a really great article. The fun of it. And the picture that they have on there is the most adorable little, like, sort of house-shaped box with, you know, an artfully arranged little bit of books. And it, apparently it says, and this is sort of the recommended thing or whatever, little free library sign is take a book, return a book. It's so simple, right?
Yeah.
Chill ran down my spine. Oh, the article is just really wonderful to read.
Yeah, I can spot neo-socialism when I see it. Little free libraries are spreading like an epidemic across the U.S., and there are now more than a dozen in the Portland metro area. The supposed intent of the LFL movement is to inspire reading. That is, since anyone can use an LFL or take or leave a book, free literature is available to any and all passersby. And this is hilarious. And he goes into just all the different, you know, bad things that'll happen. You know, some people will maintain that LFLs are harmless, but let's consider some of the threats they pose. For example, what organization polices the content of these library boxes? What prevents patrons from stealing free books? And is the Dewey Decimal System being properly adhered to?
I love that part because I actually want to organize my home library according to the Dewey Decimal System.
That is so OCD.
It's a project in the works.
Yeah. But something else, though, you know, this could actually destroy, you know, regular brick-and-mortar government libraries.
No, it will never do that, Lou, because there's always going to be a demand for illicit internet usage. And I think that's basically what public libraries are now. Like, if you need to do something a little shady on the internet, that's what the libraries are for now. Do they serve any other purpose now? I wouldn't know.
I don't know. What's Ross Ulbricht's opinion on that?
You know, we actually have book burners out there, though. Like, I can see them being concerned about this kind of thing, because who knows? It could be some sort of banned book. You guys, like, we actually have banned books in Canada.
Jim,
hang on for a second. Diana, we... Mm-hmm.
We, as in the people who share my community, have banned books in Canada.
Put a Satoshi in the collectivism chair.
Yeah, that's not a we you want to be a part of.
Yeah, the proper terminology
community.
No, the proper terminology is the socialists up in Kanuckistan have been banning books and burning them.
I see. So you guys have just eliminated the word we in the English language. Like, seriously, sometimes
only
that word
when
is
it pertains to you know, ridiculous actions like book banning. Like, Diana has never banned a book, so that is not a we. That's a they.
We are subjected to.
Do you have a French Canadian mouse in your pocket? Do you have a French Canadian mouse in your pocket? Stop saying we.
We are subjected to a condition. We, the community that I live in, is subjected to a condition. I think it's a reasonable use of the word.
Okay,
ban a book.
In that particular case,
we have banned books. We have books that are banned here that we can't access.
Oh, you have banned. Okay, so you're saying we have books that have been banned, opposed to we have banned. Yeah.
We as a community are unable to purchase certain books because of the environment we live in.
Okay,
It's a great opportunity for an illicit market. What books would you like?
Well, I actually found out about the list because I was trying to find a book on Carla Homolka. She's the most notorious and hated killer in Canada.
I think we should stuff every free little free library in Canada with one of those books, right?
Yeah, well, they banned a book because there was coverage of the trial that wasn't sanctioned by the government.
Wait. So what you're saying is the people put on their powdered wigs, they went to court, and there was reporting on what happened in court that the government did not want to get out there into the public? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, the Carla Homolka and Paul Bernardo trials had major silencing on what was allowed to be said in the courtroom and what was allowed to be reported on. Carla Homolka's trial was super fast because she had a plea deal, and the government was trying to, you know, hide a lot of the details of the plea bargain and stuff that she made with them. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is not allowed to be talked about from that trial.
Now, since we're on worldwide radio, would you like to tell us the details that that the government has tried to flush down the memory hole?
I did a fair bit of research into it, actually. But it's such a big story, you could almost do a whole show on it itself. So I could try to give a quick summary. But Homolka, she's like Canada's Charles Manson. She hooked up with this guy. He was at the time known as they didn't know it was him, but there was a Scarborough rapist who was going around performing like vicious rapes on women in Toronto. And she was living outside of Toronto in this really small town, St. Catharines, I think it was. And so she started dating this guy. And she had all of these grand ideas about, you know, getting married to him, and she created a fantasy vision around it. But she was afraid of losing him, and he had these sexual fetishes. So she ended up offering her sister to him, and the sister died because they were drugging her to try and make her unconscious. And then they managed to get away with that one. And then his ego was building because he was getting away with all these other crimes and hadn't been caught, so he was getting bolder and bolder. And they kidnapped some teenage girls in St. Catharines and held them hostage for a number of days, performed terrible acts on them, and then killed them and dismembered the bodies. So it was a big deal here. And there was like this terrible, bad police fiasco of screwing up the investigation. They were looking for a car that was the wrong car. And it was like, so a lot of the details about how poorly the investigation was handled, they didn't want people to hear about. But they finally found out, you know, who it was, because he beat her up, so she was leaving him. And they were investigating him for, I think, the Scarborough rapes. And they noticed, they were looking into the murders of the girls. And they noticed a watch that she had on her hand when they were talking to her, because he was a suspect for some time. And she panicked that they were going to catch them. So she went and to a lawyer and had him approached them with some information, and she would only talk to them if she got immunity, basically, right? She ended up going to jail, but not for nearly long enough. And her role in the murders, she actually helped to procure the young girls to bring back to him. And there's some question about whether Paul killed them or whether Carla killed them, and that was his defense in the end, was that he had participated in gruesome acts, but he claimed that it was Carla that killed him. He went out to get movies or to get pizza, and then he came back, and she'd killed the girls, right?
Okay, one minor correction in your assessment of things. Charles Manson is not proven to have killed anybody. There's absolutely no evidence to show that he ever actually killed anybody on his own. He just convinced others. So he's kind of like an American politician in that regard.
Well, that's the decision on Carla Homolka. She didn't get convicted of killing anybody. But so she gets immunity. Whether or not she did.
Okay, but she went to jail.
Yeah, she went to jail just for being an accomplice, basically.
Okay, but she got immunity.
Well, she wanted immunity. That's what she was asking for.
Okay. Yeah. All right, but it didn't really happen that way. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, back to the little free libraries, and we've only got a few seconds here. But
little band libraries, like where people put little boxes of banned books in their front yard.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
I'd be all over that one.
Yes, that would be a good idea. But anyway, when we come back from this trip to the market, we're going to talk about the 5 steps to set up your own little free library. And the first one is identify a location and a steward. And then also dealing with the zoning laws regarding sharing books.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Show not worth fact checking, but if you like to fact check, you could set up your own little free library to share the knowledge. Now, before we left, there was we were going through 5 steps to setting one of these things up. What were those again?
What were they? I don't know. If you go to littlefreelibrary.com has them. Let's see.
Fiend phone.
They're
Fiend
the cutest phone. Things too. We actually, in apartment buildings, I think a lot of them have these anyways. It's just like by the mailboxes at the front, they'll have like an extra space where you can put mail that wasn't for you. But they also, like at where I live, they have shelves where you can, you know, and you'll see it like pretty much every day. Somebody's left a book out there. So we kind of have a free library going on where I live.
Now, did you get a permit for that?
Yeah.
I live in East Van. You don't need permits in East Van.
Lou, what are the 5 steps to setting up one of these little free libraries?
Okay, step one is identify a location and steward. First, decide where you can legally and safely install your library. Legally, meaning you know you have to have permission from the government, and safely is you don't want May Day partiers going and vomiting on your library. The location should have a lot of foot traffic and be highly visible to anyone nearby. Then identify at least one person to be the steward, blah, blah, blah. Under recommended resources, it has a link to how to deal with zoning regulations, Spencer's story. And there was this young kid in, Leawood, Kansas. His name was Spencer Collins. And he decided that he wanted to create a little free library of his own and share with his neighbors. So he made this cute little library thing. And from the picture here, it looks pretty intricate. It looks like he keeps the rain and the elements off of the books and everything else. So anyway, he went and made this library, and then the government came in and said, "You can't do that. You don't have a permit. We have ordinances against free libraries." So,
there was a similar problem, actually, in Canada. Canada Post is putting in community mailboxes because they don't want to do door-to-door service anymore. So they are just plonking down. That's actually the word used in the news about it. They're plonking down these massive boxes on the city without consulting the city on where to place them. And apparently, because Canada Post is a federal corporation, they don't actually need to follow city bylaws.
They can just plonk wherever the hell they want to? Is that what you're saying?
And in Windsor, the mayor actually went out with one of those power hammers or whatever. I can't think of what they're called at the moment. But he was like drilling apart the cement base where they were going to put one.
A jackhammer.
A jackhammer, that's it, yeah. And so it was his protest because one of the places they chose to put one in Windsor was on a really, really busy intersection with narrow streets. So for people to try and access their mailboxes, it would actually physically put them in danger to try and stop in that area. Or even if they're standing on that corner trying to open the box, if they take one wrong step, they could end up in traffic.
Just more collateral damage in the war to deliver mail for Canada Post, right?
Yeah, like here, the city mayor is out jackhammering up federal property, though, which is pretty fun.
Here, have some government. So anyway, yeah, young Spencer, his parents were informed that the small structure that he set up for the library where people could come and take books or leave them, it violated a city building code that prohibits unattached accessory structures. So, you know, like unattached garages and sheds and things like that. And they had to move the library into the garage so that they wouldn't get fined. So keep telling yourself that you own your own property when the government can come in and tell you that you can't put a library on it, or, you know, do any of the other things that you would like to do with your library or with your property without having a permit. But anyway, he was real determined. So he did what, you know, all 9-year olds and many adults do, is he went and went to City Hall, and he stood atop a milk crate and read his little statement to the statocrats. And he says, "I want you to allow little free libraries because I love to read," he said. "Lots of people in the neighborhood use the library, and the books were always changing. I think it's good for Leawood in Leawood, Kansas." The council eventually agreed, granting a temporary moratorium that exempts little free libraries from the city code, and the Collins family returned the structure to their yard. But
all that ends well.
Yeah, well,
see, the government cares after all.
Yeah, well, it's not just this. This has happened in a lot of places, and you can, on this littlefreelibrary.org, you can look for all these different libraries that people have set up, and then they've, you know, registered with the, you know, here's a little free library in your area thing. But there's been a lot of people that have had their little free library shut down. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Should have a permit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Libraries are popping up everywhere.
Spreading like a terrible rash.
Spreading like a government. So anyway, yeah. So little Spencer Collins went to City Hall and begged for a longer leash, and he got it. You know, I imagine that a few of the citizens who probably had some torches and pitchforks and were standing behind him. Another case in Los Angeles, a fellow named Peter Cook, he received an anonymous letter from a neighbor who hates him and his kids, instructing him to take down his little free library or the city would. Yeah, you don't take down that library, I'm gonna point the government at you, and I'm gonna pull that trigger warning of government. So anyway, not long after the threatening note arrived, an investigator from the city's Bureau of Street Services knocked on Cook's door and delivered a notice of violation, stating that the library, which is located between the sidewalk and curb, was an obstruction. Cook was given a week to remove it or face fines. And his situation isn't different from Ricky and Teresa Edgerton's story in Shreveport, Louisiana. Same thing, cease and desist letter from the government saying, you better take down that library. But they refused to take it down. They placed a chain around their book box in protest. Their neighbors joined the fight, setting up similar free libraries in their own yards. Now, that is something that is actually really good. If government comes into your neighborhood and tells one person to take down their free library, you know, just imagine every house having a free library in front of it.
You just got to think for a second, though. Why was the government doing that? It's because a neighbor called them and said, you've got a bylaw and I want that library removed. So the government didn't see it themselves. It was actually a neighbor who called it in to complain.
And because when it comes to police, you don't pay an actual fee for a service like you would any type of private business. The cost is socialized to everybody, you know. The police are going to do it, you know.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, they're charged with a obstructing illiteracy, I think, is the charge.
That should be an actual concern.
But here's the thing: if you don't have to pay to sick the or if you don't have to pay for each time that you sick the government on a neighbor, you know, why worry about how many neighbors that you sick the government on? You know, you could spend all your free time having government mess with your neighbors for you.
Used to be illegal to teach your slave how to read? Like, wasn't that a concern back in the day that, like, they could disrupt the whole apple cart if there were too many people that knew how to read?
Yeah. And you could very easily, well, it would disrupt the apple cart if slaves knew how to read, because literacy had a tendency to lead to slave revolts, abolition, and everything else.
So maybe that's why this free library thing is frowned upon by governments.
Yeah, because it interferes with, you know, the government wanting people to be slaves. Because if there was like a library, a little free library of banned books, and or maybe some Rothbard or Mises or something like that, yeah, people might have a tendency to rise up from their servitude.
Right. So but anyway, I mean, they want the reading to take place during supervised government school hours. Right.
Right.
They don't want to just have people picking their own reading materials. It's got to be selected by professionals hired by the state to determine what is going to be best for the common good. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, you could say that these little free libraries are discriminatory, because if you take your Kindle in there and try to download an ebook or an audiobook or something like that, it's probably not going to work.
I know.
So
it's like so low tech.
So maybe government is trying to protect the people that are, you know, using the technology aspect of it.
Amazon.
I really like the promotion of physical BitTorrent. Books. It's so easy to find books online now, or just to get the electronic version. You don't have to wait for it to be shipped to you and stuff like that. But there's a je ne sais quoi about an actual physical book in your hand.
First and, non-Canadians, what does that mean?
Oh, je ne sais quoi is just kind of like a certain I don't know what, right? It's like a sort of a fancy element to something that you can't really name,
but it's an idiomatic phrase, and where and the literal translation doesn't really
it means I don't know what yeah
that's a literal translation, but there's more to it than that. I would say
it's got a sort of an artsy element to it.
Yeah, but anyway, after all these people told the government to go find that Feinstein themselves and put up all these little free libraries in front of their houses, the Shreveport City Council approved an amended resolution to temporarily legalize the structures. Now, I mean, that's
temporarily. Let's not go too far and just legalize it. That would be a little too hasty.
But that's a funny thing about government. When people tell them no, they have a tendency to say, you know, well, we're going to be the good guys here and we're going to legalize, you know, the thing that we just prohibited, even if it's only temporary, so that we don't look completely ineffective and impotent. Because if we can't control people and what they read, now, one of the things about prohibition, and I was talking about this with somebody today, they were saying, you know, that through voting, you know, prohibition went away and, you know, all this other stuff. No, prohibition of alcohol went away because people ignored the government. And they ignored the government in such great numbers that literally everybody would have to be in jail for violating the prohibition laws, which would make the conservatives real happy. But not only did they tell the government to go Feinstein themselves by ignoring the laws, when it came time for people to go to trial, somebody could have had a case of beer under their arm in the defendant's box, you know, wearing his powdered wig and a case of beer under his arm and a bottle of whiskey in his hand, and they voted not guilty. They said, you know what, we're not having this stuff. So in order to save face, in order to show that they're not the small, tiny, little, impotent, ineffective scumbags that they are, they said, oh, hey, let's change the law because we want to restore freedom. No, it's not about restoring freedom.
They just created
it's
a clause in the
face.
Law. They didn't actually change the law that much.
Well, and that's kind of what's happening with weed right now. They're like, okay, people are going to ignore us. Can we turn it into a revenue source? Okay, let's make them think we're now nicer. And we're going to now just actually take their money for selling weed instead of just putting them in jail for selling weed. Nice.
Yeah.
Or put them generous in jail, they are.
Or put them in jail for not giving them the money to be able to sell or smoke weed.
Right.
I think, like, for the neighbors who get offended by visual eyesores or whatever it is that caused this person to complain about the library, I really think that people need to get more creative in their problem-solving abilities. So, like, I had this neighbor who was manufacturing windmills, and he was making them with like wheels that had beads and stuff like that. So they were really noisy whenever they were turning. And it was like really loud all night long and everything. And my mother wanted to go over and steal this thing from his lawn when she was visiting one day. I was like, you can't do that. But she wasn't thinking straight. And so I came up with a better plan. I offered to buy it. Right. So I said, I'll buy that, but only if you promise not to make another one.
Well, I was talking about this with Ben Stone recently when he and I did a show, and a couple of my neighbors, a couple of old biddies from the neighborhood came around asking for a petition to have the cops patrol the neighborhood. And I live kind of on a main road, sort of. There's not really a whole lot of main roads up here. But anyway, the road that I live on has a lot of traffic, and it goes into Wisconsin. So anyway, these old bats came around, and they're like, we want you to sign our petition. I says, no. If it's a good enough idea, you don't need a petition. Let's do it. If it's a petition to government, obviously, you know, you want to force people to do it. But anyway, so the whole thing is, they say that vehicles are driving too fast down this highway and kids could get run over and all this other stuff. Okay. I don't see I don't see these big trucks going back and forth real fast during the day. And sometimes at night they do. But anyway, so before they even got back to their old bat cave, and, you know, before they even thought about turning in the petition, because, yeah, well, they're old bats. But anyway, I think it's like Saturday or Sunday. And so at best, it's going to be at least 12 hours before they get the petition turned in. Well, actually more than that. But anyway, I put out a sign in my front yard that says speed trap ahead. You know, slow down. Road pirates. And it sat there for a couple of days. It disappeared. I have no idea what happened to it. I really don't care. But a few days ago, I saw a sign that said, on one of my neighbor's yard, that said police ahead. So before these old biddies even turned in their petition to the road pirates, I slowed down more traffic than they could have ever dreamt of. So how's that for an alternative method?
I like it.
That's great. But, you know, I worked on in the film industry for a bit, and we had to go out to this remote location through a sort of a country area. Most horses per capita in BC, Maple Ridge. And the community decided that they wanted the police to set a speed trap for people working on the film. We were going out at about 5:30 in the morning, most of us, starting 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And they claimed that we were a danger to their children who were going out to catch the bus to school. Right? So a bunch of us got speeding tickets, and we just kind of went, well, you know, whatever. But I decided to actually drive the speed limit when I was leaving every day, and the rest of them were on their own roads. And they were tailgating me. They were so annoyed that I was going the speed limit.
Be careful what you want. You might get it good and hard. So anyway, back to how to start your own little free library. So anyway, it talks about how to deal with city ordinances and bureaucrats and goons with clipboards and all of our stuff. And go here and check this out for yourself. It's littlefreelibrary.org. And I'm just looking through all the legalese gobbledygook, and it's just absolutely unbelievable, you know, all the language that's in here. So anyway, step two is get a library so you can build your own. And they sell Little Free Library houses on their website. So that's pretty neat. They also have plans and tips for builders. So it makes it real easy to make a nice little structure. And some of them are just downright pretty awesome looking. Step three, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. Make it official if necessary. This step only applies if you built your own library or received your library from a source other than littlefreelibrary.org. You need to have an official charter sign and charter number on each library to receive all the benefits of being a member of the worldwide LFL network. So in other words, if you want to join our union... So I'm not sure how I feel about
that's
that.
That's a little bit crazy.
Well, let's start our own worldwide banned book little library union or so, you know, somehow we can I think we should just sort of take their idea and improve it slightly.
Yeah, but you can't register your library on the register of the on the official registry of the world map without an official charter number. So
we'll just put ours in the blockchain.
Yeah, put in the blockchain. Get off the plantation.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. Redemption in the third act. So, yeah. The Little Free Libraries, and you can go to littlefreelibrary.org, and we'll have Michael put a link in the show notes and to some of the articles that we use. I saw the article where the guy was doing the satirical words of warning against Little Free Libraries and making the jokes about how, you know, government should take it down and everything else. So I figured, let me do a little Google search, and that's where I found, you know, the main site that we've been talking about, and then all these other different articles. And I'd heard about people having their Little Free Library shut down before, but I actually really got really dug into it, and I found it really interesting. But anyway, back to the steps to build your library. Step four is build support. Get your community involved. Contact the local paper, radio, and TV station. Send out a press release. Tell your friends, family, and neighbors in person. Use social media. Engage the community. It's a pretty good idea. And it also has some recommended resources for that. Step five, install and register on the map. Once you have installed your library, be sure to hold a grand opening ceremony. Invite all of your friends and neighbors to kick off the library in style. Have a ribbon cutting. Provide snacks and exchange books. Take lots of photos and register on the world map so that anyone can easily find your library. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to register my library or my guns or anything else, but
it's the sharing of knowledge that I find exciting.
Yeah, because what this is... is truly a solution. People say, well, without the public library, where would the poor people get books? Duh.
Because they will find a way.
Yeah. I mean, slaves learned to read and write under penalty of law. So you don't need a public library or a public school. So here you have a community-based solution of what about the poor? Who will take care of the poor? You know, people take care of themselves. As a matter of fact, the early libraries here in America were rich people had a bunch of books, and they would loan them out to people of the community.
So, I really think that right, you know, the people's assessment of the kindness or unkindness of people is skewed, because right now with the state, they legislate compassion, and then people just don't feel like they have anything left anymore. You know, they're like, I gave at the office. But you get rid of all that, and I think that really people are community-oriented, and they are sure. Giving.
Well, you know, hey, I've got a quick story about a guy that I think is a community hero. And I just, you know, it's such a positive story. I want to just let you guys know about this. Long Island man busted for tampering with traffic cameras after posting YouTube video about it, okay? This was a guy that saw a problem in his neighborhood, meaning basically there was a highway banditry going on a massive scale, wholesale. Okay, so with these red light cameras, and he said he made a how-to video and he posted. He goes, all you need is a pair of blank and a painter's extension rod, and he made a short video showing how to just change the angle of a camera. He goes, see that? I just saved this community about $10,000 today. These cameras are this particular county that he's in Long Island was harvesting $11 million. I forget, was it a month? Maybe a huge amount of money. Okay, is coming in from this operation, this automated robbery operation. Now, this is to me that is the epitome of community service. Unfortunately, he was kind of a knucklehead, and he should have done this anonymously, and he's now facing charges.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
when they first started those traffic cameras, I remember hearing, I think it was an actual stand-up comic or whatever, but he said, so I sent them a picture of my money, because they mail you a picture of you speeding.
Right? Nice. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought this is a great, uplifting story. This guy obviously cares about his community a great deal. decided I'm going to take action and protect my community. And, you know, but just the lesson here is, you know, be discreet about it. Like, even the make a how-to video, but do it anonymously. That's my recommendation.
My recommendation is that if people don't want to be governed, they should stop being so controlling of each other. Because a lot of these police structures we're talking about are the community complaining about their neighbors instead of working it out to find better solutions.
True.
As Frederick Douglass frequently said, you cannot attach a leash to another man's neck without finding the other end of that leash attached to your own.
Ooh, very good.
And when you have the cops go and mess with your neighbors, that's not legislating compassion. That's legislating tyranny. Yeah.
Free your mind.
Worms.
Thank you very much for a great show, fellas. And every guy and gal, I should say. Go to freedomfiends.com for more Freedom Fiends. Worms.